Matthew Skinner, a New Testament professor at Luther Seminary, likes to teach today's reading from Luke by asking his students to visualize the scene. So today, I'd like us to do the same. Take a moment to see Jesus. See his hair, his eyes, his dusty and well-worn sandals. And then, once we have Jesus, let's picture his entourage. Last week, we listened as Jesus, in the city of Capernaum, healed a Roman soldier's slave. He just left that city and is heading to a small village called Nain. His disciples are with him, and so is a large crowd. As they move, people all around, from miles and miles, can hear the noise they're making. They're shouting, they're talking, they're wondering just who this Jesus is. Now, the crowd knows that Jesus is important, but they don't know exactly why. They don't know what he's going to do. Some know him as a religious teacher. Others think he's putting together an army to push the occupying Romans back into the sea. As the crowd talks and walks, women and men, children and the elderly, they are anything but quiet. Jesus' crowd isn't a crowd that can be hidden. But as they near the village, Jesus' entourage hears a different kind of noise. There in the distance is another crowd, a different kind of parade. The joy and the wonder in Jesus' crowd is matched and almost canceled out by the sadness, the heartbreak, the crying led by professional mourners who are giving voice to the grief the village feels. As the two crowds get close, I imagine they both stop. They didn't expect to run into each other. The crowd with Jesus and the crowd with this funeral, they both grow quiet. Everything, even the air, is still. They're waiting for someone to make the first move. And it's then at that moment when Jesus sees her. So what does this mother look like? She's off to bury her only child, who, according to custom, died less than a day before. No parent should ever have to bury their child, but that's what she's experiencing. That's what she's feeling. And as a widow, she doesn't even have a partner she can grieve with. She's isolated, feeling alone, even though she's surrounded by this crowd. And as her heart breaks, she's worried about what comes next. In her culture, men own property, and it's through men that money is earned and shared. Without a husband and without a son, her financial security is undone. Her sadness, her fear, and her anxiety block out everything else around her. When Jesus and his crowd come, she doesn't even look up. She doesn't even see him. But she doesn't need to see Jesus because Jesus sees her. Today's story is the first time in the Gospel according to Luke where Jesus heals someone before he's asked. Last week, the Roman centurion sent two delegations to ask and then command Jesus to heal his slave who was ill. The centurion believed that Jesus will be Jesus, and it's that faith, that trust, that Jesus mentions and points out. But there's nothing like that here. No one asked Jesus to heal the son. No one asked Jesus to take care of the widow. No one says anything. But Jesus' compassion makes the first move. Now, in a little bit, all of us here are going to join with Anderson and his family as he receives communion for the first time. And, like I said before, this is the kind of celebration that is one of my favorite parts of the job, because today, Anderson is going to see Jesus. Now, I know it sounds a little strange, at least from the outside, to say that in this little bread and this drink that Anderson will see the Son of God. But he will see, because like the mother among the people of Nain, Jesus sees us first. In his compassion and in his wisdom, Jesus made a promise to his disciples and to us that in this meal, he is here. We might not feel his presence or even think about our faith all week long, but it's in this crowd on this day where Jesus promises to be. In this bread and drink, we are cherished. In this celebration, we are nourished. And in this communion, we are loved. One of the activities I had our first communion students do is had them visualize and draw what a big feast would look like. So we unrolled a large piece of mural paper, got out our markers, and started to draw. We needed, obviously, a big table with plenty of room for plates and food and chairs. And as the kids and I kept drawing, making sure that every part of the paper was filled, the chairs around the table kept changing. Some were large and tall, others were thin and small. Some chairs were in bright colors, others had footrests. Some were high chairs for babies, and even a few were squishy, like beanbag chairs. After we drew the chairs, Anderson decided to fill each chair with a person. And like all the chairs, each person was different. Some were large and tall. Some were young and small. No two people looked the same, and every different kind of person was around that table. And it's that kind of person, that different person, that's who Jesus sees. They might not be the person we notice at first. They might be sad or scared or vulnerable in some way. They might not even look like they belong to be there at this feast, but that's who Jesus sees. That's who Jesus wants us to see. To visualize the story is to see not just what Jesus did, but to understand what Jesus wants us to see. To see like Jesus is to see just how big God's table is and witness the people Jesus' compassion touches and loves. God's love isn't restricted to just one kind of person or one kind of experience. It isn't just for the secure, the comfortable, and those who we assume will be on Jesus' side. Jesus sees the vulnerable widow. He sees a future that looks bleak. He's moved to advocate for her, to do more than just wipe away her tears that she's shedding today. Jesus sees her so that we can see those in our world who look like her. The table Jesus lovingly sets for us, a table where we bring all of who we are with our own unique chair. is a table that's bigger than just for us. The vulnerable, the fearful, those who cry and those who mourn, and especially those without security, they have a place at Jesus' table too. When we share in the feast, when we see the bread, when we see Jesus, we are seeing Jesus' vision for our lives. And this vision is to see Jesus and Jesus' compassion, see his love, and know that in Jesus, we are called to see and love like God does. Amen.